Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to 20. We've been doing basics of the Christian faith for today's world. We've talked about the basic truth about the Lord's Supper, the truth that Jesus is truth from God and the Bible is Jesus' truth, the truth that the gospel has both blessings and expectations for us, the truth that love must be both intuitive and emotional and mental as well, the truth about the positive value of consultation and teaching, preaching, leadership, and the apprehension and application of truth in any particular age, including our own, the truth about faith, the truth about repentance last week, the truth about God the Holy Spirit, and then, because there's a close connection today, the business of the truth about prayer. And take your scripture there, and we're going to read verses 10 through 20 as the context for it, and then focus the sermon on the last three verses. Verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Thus far, God help us as we spend some time on this morning. Did you notice this morning that there might be four things we might take out of this? Four little key words. The idea of a uniformed prayer. Okay, if you're writing it down, a uniformed prayer. Number two, the idea of unending prayer. Number three, the idea of united prayer. And four, the idea of Ukrainian prayer. We'll get to that in a little bit. First, uniformed, not uninformed prayer, as the word can be rendered, but uniformed prayer. You notice this part about prayer comes at the end of that famous passage about us clothing ourselves with the armor of God and the use of the faculties of the Roman soldier of that day: his shield, his sword, his breastplate, his buckler, his feet. They're all there and would have been alert. We do that with a soldier today, maybe, and choose different things. But it's the idea of a foot soldier who's not there to serve food. It's this image that Paul's using to talk to us about how we ought to be clothed for this overall thing he describes as a battle on this earth, is this business of being clothed with all this armaments, like Frodo, you know, going against the Mordor with this little sword. He's got this little sword and these little teeny, but he's armed. He's going to war in the presence of great evil in the world. That's something that's not on many Christians' mind anymore. We've got this idea of a neutral territory out there that we're just out there with another idea to kind of win over somebody who's thinking. Brenda just described her place. You know, 90-some-odd% of the population is worshiping idols. And we know how God dealt with idols in the Old Testament. He was very frank, grossly. That passage in Jeremiah is ludicrous because of how he's making fun of it. He says, this is crazy, these people do these things. But here, you see, before he gets to prayer, the person that's praying now is this person that's got all this shield and sword. They're standing there ready to go to battle. And so when we turn to the business of prayer, don't act like the guy drops his shield, drops his sword, dropped his buckler and everything else, and now he's going to go over and get down on his knees and pray. No. No, he's on his way to do something, and as he's going in that condition, as he sees himself, the apostle goes right to and pray in the Spirit, verse 18. These verses follow that and are sort of like the gunny sergeant's final words to the guy as he heads out onto the battlefield. Oh, and pray in the Spirit, he tells him, on all kinds of occasions. The guy turns and drops his shield a little bit and feels his sword, you know, and is working on his feet, but he's listening to this discussion. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, that is, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, and all kinds of prayers, and all kinds of... With that in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So the prayer that he's urging on this person is really the prayer of that soldier who's had to stop now. If he walks away thinking all I need is the sword and the shield and the breastplate and the shoes and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff, he's not going to the battle with something he needs to have in his mind, sort of sending the patrol out to fight a battle and saying, oh, and leave your radio behind. You don't have to talk to anybody. Just go out there and fight. No. Christian soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, are to be people with an iPhone in their pocket, you know, always in communication with the boss about what we're doing here. You're supposed to be talking to God all the time. It's the prayer of someone uniformed for battle. And it's in the Holy Spirit, you notice. He just doesn't say, if he'd said pray on all occasions in verse 18, that would be one thing. But he slips something in there that links to last week's sermon. That whole business, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost. That when that soldier walks around, he's got a sword and a shield and all these other things. He's a temple in who is dwelling the third person of the Trinitarian God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I urge you, I said, you know, if you're... The truth of the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. He lives in us as we collectively worship. And I hope you went back, I hope at least sometime this week you were walking around aware of somebody else walking with you. That somebody's in you. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Not just when you're here worshiping. And so when you turn yourself to prayer, you see, you're turning yourself to do something in the very presence of someone who is God Himself in you. The same thing comes up in Jude 1:20. He says, but you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. There was a point in my life about 18, 20 years ago where this came up. And I'd been a Christian for 15 years or so. I wasn't in the ministry then, I was in the business world, you know, and it was like a truth of business or something kind of got to me, and I said, wait a minute. And then I became aware that as I'm talking, I'm in the presence of somebody that I had found a way to leave out of my life. The third person of the Trinity dwelling in me. Jesus said He will be with you. He is with you to the apostles, but He's going to be in you. And when you're born again, that's when He dwells inside of you. He brings you to life. You can't be alive unless the Holy Spirit lives in you. And from that moment on, you are indwelled by the third person of the Trinity. And if He's not a part of your sentient life and the things you do, you see, you're missing something here. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Do you pray in the Spirit on all occasions? Or are you somebody, a Christian, who doesn't even pay any attention to the Holy Spirit in your prayer life? Not to mention your walking around life. Remember that passage we said? All those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He says, pray in the Spirit. Romans 15:30. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. He says there's this idea, there's a relationship of the love of God. Brenda said, the gifts of the Spirit, peace, Lord, you know, all those gifts are, you're in the presence of Him giving you those things. How much of that is in your prayer life? You have trouble praying for people to love them? Well, the Holy Spirit could help you with that. You have trouble praying for somebody about the truth that they're struggling with in their life? Well, the Holy Spirit can help you there too, since He's the Spirit of truth. Having trouble understanding anything in your life? Jesus called Him the Counselor, and that's another word for attorney. I'm going to send you another Counselor. Picture yourself in the courtroom sitting there. And you've been called upon to testify. And the district attorney asks you a question. And if you just answer on your own, you're crazy. Why? Because your attorney's sitting there. And so your eyes are always on him, and he's going, or jumping to his feet saying, excuse me. Holy Spirit said to remind us of truth. And therefore our prayers can be, if they're in Him, truthful prayers. Accurately reflecting God's priorities. So it needs to be prayer in the Spirit. As a uniformed member of God's army. Second point, it needs to be unending prayer. You see that in verse 18? Pray in the Spirit, not just when you want to hear from the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And all kinds of prayers. And all kinds of requests. Those are strong. That's a strong string of little all statements there in the Greek text. It's a powerful thing. He wants you to be in the Spirit praying in every occasion of your life. With all kinds of prayers. Help! 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 I'm tired of this. You know, minister to me. Oh, that needs to be, you know, I'm sad. Whatever you want to talk about, you need to be praying in the Spirit when you come to God to talk. In Ephesians 1:17, he says, I keep asking, in the first chapter, he says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. The presence of the Holy Spirit there to give you wisdom and revelation. Luke 21:36, Jesus says, be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you will be able to stand before the Son of God. There's a way of praying on every occasion that's in that passage that says you're going to be in tribulation a lot. Luke 18:1, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. And what was the parable? The unjust judge. And the poor widow pleading with Him for help, and He just said, He just blew her off. And so she came back again. Hey, wait a minute. And He blew her off again. And she just kept coming, and Jesus says, now what's going to happen there? And finally the unjust judge gives her, not because He wanted to, but just to get rid of her. Now that's not about God, that's about the persistence of prayer. God just wants to do everything, but sometimes He puts you in a position where you need to come and come and come and come and come again in all circumstances. Prayer in the life of the biblical characters. I could sit here and put them up here on the screen or have somebody act them out for you. Throughout the Scripture, how much of the Scripture is really, at some point in the story, somebody's going to go, help! Or, I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm hurting, or I'm getting ready to do something I don't want to do, please help me. The Bible's filled with people who are just like you and I, praying on every kind of circumstance in their life. From on top of Mount Sinai to Jonah in the belly of the whale. In the depths of the sea, he lifts up his voice to talk to God. Is there any place that you don't want to pray to him? That's the place you need to pray to him. I mean, you just don't want to do it there. Typically, it's because that's an idol that you've left God out of. And you know, if you pray to him about this thing, you're going to have to drag him and his ways into your life. And that alone, usually, is a big helpful thing. Very helpful. Pray in all things. The third, united prayer. Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Jesus has gone back to heaven. Holy Spirit is not yet poured out. And it says the first band, the first distinguishing mark of the church as it formed in that time, was a bunch of people who were known being always praying. 2 Chronicles 6:21. As they dedicate the temple, he says, Lord, hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. All of Israel praying like that. If everybody in this room was praying about the circumstances in which we find ourselves here, we'd get someplace, but we don't. We just yak about it and complain about it. We need to be united in prayer. Finally, the Ukrainian prayer. Do you know what's going on in Ukraine today? Some of you do, because you're well-read, you know, and you understand that, well, the Ukraine is in the shadow of Russia, of despotic guy named Putin, you know. But did you know that Ukraine is also a place where there's this outbreak of biblical religion, biblical Christianity, right? And you know who doesn't want that to happen in the Ukraine? Vladimir Putin. Why? Because he's aligned himself with the Russian Orthodox Church as one of his little tools to unite Mother Russia. And do you know how much use Russian Orthodoxy has for Protestant and evangelical and charismatic religion? Zero. So how about this? How about one of the things we pray for? Just like here, Paul says, you know, pray for me whenever I open my mouth. Who is he asking them to pray for? An apostle who was an evangelist and a pastor in the service of Jesus in the advancing of the kingdom of God across the face of pagan Europe and Asia Minor. And he asked them, please pray for me so that, not just pray for me, he's got one thing on his mind. Pray for me. We're going to pray for Brenda. That whenever she opens her mouth, words may be given her so that she will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Going out in the streets of Taiwan is just no different than going out in the streets of Athens. Walking up to people on the side of the road and getting into their lives with them and preaching the gospel to them. And the only thing that can bring light is a miracle. The God of all creation bringing someone to Christ. Lydia, the Philippian jailer, Joseph of Arimathea, and story after story of the gospel making an impact in a country because it's amazing, somebody was praying. He says, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Why would he ask them to pray for that? Why would Paul ask them to pray for him that he would declare the gospel fearlessly? You know why? Because every time he opened his mouth in Ephesus about the fact that Diana was not real and that temple you got over there is not a place where God's worshipped, Jesus is God. Everybody from the Roman Tribune to the local metal makers in Ephesus making the little idols as their money-making machine would try and kill him, and they did. He's just a human being like you and me. And he knew what it's like to stand up in front of a bunch of people and tell them the truth, knowing that any minute they could kill you or kick you out or lose your job, leaving you and your family, whatever, you know. He knew the cost of the gospel. We need to pray for people like Paul, people like your pastor, people like Brenda, and we've got that list there on the back of our bulletin. Pray for us. Pray for the Ukrainian church. Pray for the church on Taiwan. Pray for the believers being abused, tortured, and sometimes martyred every day in the 1020 window, famous for the big Islamic domination. And in North Korea, and most recently, on another level, I'm saying this, realizing this is on another level of persecution, but in the town hall meetings across this country now that are taking place, where they're praying, they start their town hall meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. Did you see this? And there are people screaming down the person praying. Screaming, standing on their feet, throwing things. One woman sitting, she's sitting in a chair like this as this meeting sitting started, and she's going to overwhelm the prayer and overwhelm the other stuff they're doing at start. That's demonic. It's evil. You wait. It's coming. It's coming. And we have to be prepared for that. So pray for your pastor. Pray for Brenda. Pray for one of those missionaries in the back and any place where you stand up and see somebody like Franklin Graham or John Stemberger standing up and speaking truth to power in our own country, speaking the gospel to them. Pray for them. Bow your head at that moment saying, God, help that person, please. How's your prayer life? This is only scratching the surface. I'm sitting here with you. You know, when I'm sitting here listening to what I'm saying and looking at these texts of scriptures and a whole bunch of more that I've done, you know, I'm sitting here saying, my prayer life stinketh. You know, I'm nowhere near where I should be. But let's sort of agree that that's the way it is. It's just the way it is. It's the way all the Bible's filled with it. Why would he even tell them these things if they just naturally knew how to pray, right? Let's just determine out of this today, you come out and say, okay, one thing, Holy Spirit was talking to me on one of those things, and it's still there. Like, you know, from the inside. And I wrote it down. I didn't write it down. That was dumb. I'm going to write it down now. And if you're somebody who didn't have any problems today in the sermon, you're either blind as a bat, hard as a rock. You might not even know the one we're talking about praying to. What's been laid before you is a simple truth of about three verses of Scripture. And if you weren't moved by it to want to pray, I would ask you to talk to Jesus about that. Just talk to Him. And you're going, I don't think I can do that. Yes, you can. Just talk to Him and say, you know, Lord, I found a hardness in my heart today from that sermon about prayer. I wouldn't listen. Please help me. Because I want to pray in a uniformed way. I want to pray in an unending way. I want to pray in a united way with my brethren. And I want to pray for what you're doing in this world on the outer fringes of where the kingdom of God is. To bring Jesus Christ into families, individuals, cultures, legislators, okay? And just take one of those and concentrate on it and pray about it. Talk to God about it. He loves it when He does something like this and the person goes, all the pastor's doing is asking me to talk to God. And while he was saying that, the Holy Spirit was going, yeah, that's you, brother, sister. I want to help you do that. At the end of his life, the worst king in Israel's history, the bottom of the barrel guy. He did things with his own children that you cannot imagine how bad he did things, how awful the things that he did. He ends up being a prisoner. His name was Manasseh, and he ends up being a prisoner in Babylon. I can't tell you how bad this guy was. And the chronicler puts him in here just so we'll learn something. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to God, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea, so that he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. You see where Manasseh found God? To localize it, when he suddenly found out he wasn't praying, and that he wasn't praying in the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't praying in a united way, and all these other things, and he wasn't praying with it. He wasn't a good prayer warrior. But he claimed to be born again and saved by this God who loved him that much. And all he did was address himself to God on that subject. And because God has been, his fury at sin has been taken away by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, God walked right back into that evil man's life and restored him to what he had messed up out of his great love for him. The application is, you're not praying? Good. I'm glad you realize that. Get to it and let the first one be, Father, I'm not a prayer warrior. My prayers are pretty pitiful. I yield to you now. I want to pray about all things in every way, using all kinds of prayers and petitions. And you're going to hear some weird things from me, but I know you don't care. But I'm going to find myself a place apart. I'm going to draw away from everything that I'm involved in. And I'm going to pray to you because you want to hear me talk to you in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word that is so filled with the perfectly accurate analysis of our situations, every one of us in this room. But equally, that it's perfectly filled with the good grace and gospel ways where you take guys like Manasseh at the lower end of the sewer stream, and because he lifted his eyes to you and talked to you about the reality of his life, you brought him back and left his name not good only for what it was, but as a man you had poured out your favor upon. So, Father, if there's people here who've not been praying because they're afraid, they think you got to be a preacher to pray, or somebody knows all the Bible to pray, or whatever's keeping them back, Lord, may this be the day and this be the week that new habits form in their life. And the one we're talking about here today is that habit of talking to you in a yielded way, with all kinds of prayers in every kind of an occasion. Because wonder of wonders, you, the creator of the universe, the savior of your people in Jesus Christ, really want to hear each one of us in this room talk to you about our lives with entreaties and petitions and confessions and all the rest. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, shining even this morning so brightly in the invitation you give to all of us to pray. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.